guy in the world. I'm John Batchelor, the Veterans Administration. I welcome Francis Rose of FedGov Today, the host of the podcast twice a week and the TV show at Channel 7 in our nation's capital. His conversation with Nathan Sanfilippo, the Veterans Administration, about the veterans' experience. Now, background here. Francis and I have been together since the VA emerged as a crisis in the first decade of this century. And it remains in challenges all the time. Although I learned from Francis that the VA has always been in crisis. It doesn't matter whether it's digitalized or not. It doesn't matter whether you use the language of silos or management style. It's a crisis to care for the nation's veterans and their families. Right now, however, there looks to be a new understanding of what is to be done. It's called the Veterans Experience. Francis, a very good evening to you. Mr. Sanfilippo is extremely helpful, but is there a definition of the veterans' experience that you got from him? What does that mean? Why are they keen on it? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. The Department of Veterans Affairs Veterans Experience Office exists to make the process of navigating the big bureaucracy of VA easier for veterans. It's been a number of years in existence now, and the goal, essentially, as they say it, is to use human-centered design rather than agency-centered design. For many, many years, not just VA, a lot of government organizations, and not just the federal government, other government organizations too, thought about the business processes that they needed to deliver whatever the product or service was that they were supposed to deliver. And over the last 5 to 10 years, the federal government has taken a different tack. Their idea is to think, when a veteran comes to us, in the case of VA, and wants to get anything that that veteran is able to receive as a result of his or her service to the country, what does that interaction look like? And what makes that process easier? What makes sense to that veteran that we're not doing now? Or what are we doing now that doesn't make sense to that person? And so the Veterans Experience Office was founded to try to deal with that concept. They've made a lot of progress according to the satisfaction data that VA collects from the veterans that it deals with. The satisfaction level's always been very high with the VA's the healthcare provision. But over the last number of years, they have made a significant amount of progress, according to those same metrics, in the way that veterans believe that the agency serves them and is able to meet their needs when they come to do business with the agency, John.
Nathan says that the agency is always in transition, but right now, active to veteran or veterans coming on from previous services, and that makes for language that I need to use here, Francis. Nathan wants no silos. He wants one experience for the veteran, from healthcare to education to home loans and whatever else is available from the VA. Is that an ambition that he's close to? I didn't get a sense of a timeline, because that would be one stop for all, and that seems far-fetched at this moment.
I wouldn't say far-fetched. I would say difficult, though, and maybe that's the reason why he wasn't able to or didn't allude to a timeline, because he wasn't able to, because as he mentioned in this conversation, he interacts closely with the National Cemetery Administration, the Veterans Benefits Administration, and the Veterans Health Administration. Those are the three big parts of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and his office is supposed to be the connective tissue that provides one entryway for a veteran and a veteran's family to deal with VA for all of those things, for the benefits that somebody is supposed to get from their service, for the healthcare provision that the veteran is supposed to get. And when a veteran chooses to use a VA facility for his or her final resting place, cemeteries will help with that as well. And so you can imagine those three areas are huge, and there are a lot of nuances and a lot of nooks and crannies in each of those operations. And so I can see where it would be difficult to put a timeline on how you can provide a comprehensive experience across all three of those, but it certainly is what something that they're at least aspiring to right
now. Nathan is even more ambitious. He wants to make the VA proactive, not reactive, by which, as I understand, you want to tell the veteran what he or she is eligible for right now because of your service, because of your age, because of your conditions. And that's not now happening. You have to search for yourself. Is that what you understood?
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the things that is the most tedious about the veterans' experience right now from their perspective is applying for everything. Any benefit that they are that's available to them, they have to apply for, and it is on the onus is on the veteran to demonstrate that he or she qualifies for whatever the benefit is. And what Nathan and his team are working on is a way to, as you said, be proactive and tell the veteran, you qualify for this, you qualify for this, and you qualify for this. And here's one way, one time to apply for all of that. Because for many years, you talked about silos. If you wanted a home loan through VA and you qualified for one because of your service, you went to the Veterans Administration office that handled that and you filled out your application. You filled out all the details, name, address, et cetera, et cetera. And then second office, second benefit that you wanted was you wanted to use the the GI Bill. That is another process, and so on and so on and so on. Each individual time you apply for a benefit, you fill out the information all over again. And in the days of paper, that made sense. People understood it. In the digital era that we live in now, nobody understands it. And that's a tremendous push on the satisfaction scores that they get because people understand, I don't have to do this when I buy stuff from Amazon, for example. I don't fill out my name and address and everything every time. I have an account and it generates all of that information. And that's the expectation that people have for VA. And that's what expectation the agency, according to Nathan, is trying to meet.
Nathan also spoke of a PACT Act, which I looked up. And I was pleased to discover that at long last, Agent Orange, burn pits, yes, but Agent Orange is a presumptive illness that comes to the veterans who were near Vietnam in those critical years of the war. That would be about 1964 to 1975, although it might be bigger than that. I didn't know this existed. It's informally known as the PACT Act, honoring our promise to address comprehensive toxics act. We both know that for decades there was denial about Agent Orange.
Yeah, this is something that the VA has been very proactive since the act passed in trying to get the word out that these benefits exist. They've talked about it in just about every format, in just about every sphere of operation, just pretty much everywhere. And really, it's been since Congress kind of forced it on VA with the PACT Act and then did back it up by giving the money to be able to provide these benefits and build the infrastructure for people to come and file the claims. What VA is taking away from this is an opportunity to try some of these things on a large scale that they've tried on a smaller scale and had some success with regarding customer experience. And, it hasn't been entirely smooth. There was a period of time where the website had so much traffic that they weren't able to take all the claims and people had to come back and refile and so on. So the PACT Act, number one, is the hardest piece of legislation in the history of legislation to say. But second of all, has been a real test of the VA's ability to try to turn some of these things around when it comes to customer experience.
Good for Nathan. When we first started reporting on Veterans Affairs, there was no Nathan to talk to. And there he is right now. Now, one detail more in your most recent broadcast. Fix my computer. Francis, that's wonderful. A program for the Air Force, I believe.
That's right.
You spoke to Colt Whittle, in which the Air Force is finally acknowledging that it has to bring systems up to date, at least get them in the 21st century. Is it happening now? We have 30 seconds.
The Air Force believes it is based on the data that they collect on the information on how happy people are with how satisfied people are with their user experience. They believe they're trending in the right direction. And the anecdotal information that I get from people that are inside the services indicate that they're correct about that, John.
And Fix My Computer is witty, but at the same time, it is a revelation to me how much of the federal government depends on technology I wouldn't have on my desk, because I'd be frightened of it. What is it going to do to my work? And so it's witty, but at the same time, we need to bring up at least get to 2010. That's all we need to do. Francis Rose, he's the host of FedGov Today, a podcast twice a week, a TV show on Sunday morning, Channel 7 in our nation's capital. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.